Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
The need for support, and it comes in many different forms. It can be as a coach, it could be as a mentor. I think generally speaking, I found that having communities are really important. Oftentimes, the best advice and input you get is from your peers.
In every entrepreneurial journey, there are moments of uncertainty, transition, and the search for genuine connection. Today's conversation with Jerry Weinstein uncovers the deeper layers of what it means to move beyond the safety of established systems and step into the unknown as a business owner. We explore the essential role of community, the value of honest feedback, and the subtle dynamics that build trust and resilience in challenging times. Jerry's insights invite us to reflect on how we adapt to rapid change, find clarity amidst chaos, and cultivate the grit and empathy needed to thrive. If you're navigating your own path or supporting others on theirs, this episode offers thoughtful perspectives and encouragement for the road ahead. Now let's welcome Jerry Weinstein. Jerry is a trusted business advisor and mentor to small businesses. He has over 60 years of experience as a corporate executive and entrepreneur. He co-founded six businesses with primary emphasis on industrial products and services and domestic and international experience. Jerry has served on multiple outside boards in for-profit and nonprofit entities. Jerry, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on again.
Thank you much, David. It's always good to be with you and listen to your podcasts and to your probing questions.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's kick it off with the first question. So you have extensive experience as a corporate leader, yet you seem to be drawn to mentor small businesses with a particular emphasis on solopreneurs. What attracts you to focusing on solopreneurs?
The attraction of solopreneurs is reality. Today, I think that it is lonely to be out on your own, particularly if you're coming from an environment where there was a lot of support for your activities, like a corporation. And I think that my experience when I left the corporate world a long time ago and then went into my first second business, if you will, a friend of mine said to me, Jerry, good luck, but you're going to learn to lick the postage stamps yourself. And I never forgot that in terms of a guide, that you are on your own and you are beholden to nobody else but yourself. And that's a pretty big step. And I thought that was important as I got into mentoring. I've been there, done it, still learning how to do it better. So why not share it?
It is a big step. It also strikes me as you're describing it, that it's not only scary, but it's lonely.
Well, loneliness is a real big part of it, because if your advisors or your support system happens to be friends and family, that's not necessarily good. They love you too much to tell you the truth. So I think that when you're on your own and you start to make decisions or think about alternatives, it's kind of, you're looking in the mirror, and the only thing you hear about from what you say or what you think is your echo, and that's not good. So I think that the need for support, and it comes in many different forms. It can be as a coach, it could be as a mentor. I think generally speaking, I found that having communities are really important on that type of thing. Now, that community can be many different types of communities, of which David's program happens to be an awfully good one of that. And I think that oftentimes the best advice and input you get is from your peers. And your peers are broadly defined as people who are going through or have gone through the same experience as you have, albeit in a completely different sector of industry or business or service or product. There's a lot of commonality. So I think support is really important, and it comes in a lot of different forms, of which communities and peer-to-peer groups and things like that are very effective.
Jerry, what do you find it takes to be in an environment where your peers will tell you the truth? Because you said hearing the truth is really important. Like there are certain conditions that kind of motivate people to share the truth.
Well, I think the question is sharing the truth is one thing. Listening to the truth and reacting to the truth is quite another one.
Absolutely. That's part two.
Well, I combined part one and part two because what at its core situation is one of trust and respect for not only for the group of people that you're involved in. And trust is something that you cannot demand. It must be earned and demonstrated. And the respect part of it is there's two levels of respect. One is the respectful manner in which you give input, the respectful manner in which you accept input. And the other definition of respect is you respect what they have accomplished and how they have done it. So I'm not talking about admiration. I'm talking about respect. So those are it really is an environment of trust, which takes, by definition, a certain amount of time. It's almost a metabolic process. You just don't turn the on switch on and, okay, I trust you. Yeah. You've seen the t-shirt. You know, trust me. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Are there particular techniques that you use as a mentor that will promote trust and respect?
Well, that's a fair question. I think you'd have to discuss that with my mentees, if you will, to find out if I'm accurate. But what I try to do, it's a process, and it will continue on until it's not. And that process is to make people feel comfortable. I have my own form of humor, which I think is pretty good, but that doesn't mean it's good for everybody. But I think creating a serious but light mood is really important. And I think there is a certain degree of just good fortune of having the kind of people around you that have the same kind of value system, of which you really don't know until you get started with them. And a group doesn't know that. Group dynamics, I'll leave that to those in your group, David, and your other acquaintances that are far more in the world of the head and psychology and behavioral matters and so on and so forth. But I do believe that reality, humor, respect, and also, I think that we should not underestimate the need for a certain degree of frequency of contact.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it doesn't happen in one formal session or two formal sessions. It might be two formal sessions and a phone call in between. And I think that that becomes a little bit trickier in the world we live in today, because you don't have that cup of coffee, meet at the water cooler, have to go out for beer afterwards type of environment. So you have to really kind of work at that of getting that right balance of frequency and engagement.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I'm thinking about your comment about getting the right people in the room in a way that will kind of promote trust and respect. And I don't have a particular formula or script for getting the right people in the room. I would say it's more of an intuition or a feeling when I meet someone. Do I think that they're going to gel with others in a particular setting? And I wish maybe that I had a more structured way to figure this out. But it's very much like when I'm trying to facilitate a group, it's often a feeling of whether people will fit or not. And you know, sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm not.
I think it's exactly that. I don't think structure is really applicable here. I think it is your emotional intelligence to some extent, just good fortune. I've always toyed with the idea, and this is toy, with the idea that if I have an established group and I want to bring somebody in, I might ask the people that are in the group to essentially give me some input in terms of their positioning. I say that, and it goes well beyond these kinds of communities and groups. If you're hiring somebody in the corporate world, that's why you have sort of multi-level interviewing. And that's why you should meet a lot of different people. And that's to the benefit of the potential employee as well as the employer, to get some idea of what the group is and what the people are. And I think that enhances the odds. The other way which we have found that is of some value is to give everybody who wants to join a group, give them the opportunity at no cost to essentially sit in on one meeting or two. Keep your mouth kind of quiet. But if you got something to say, say it, following our ground rules. And maybe you can get a little bit more comfort, if you will, in terms of the selection process. But it's an EQ situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. I want to shift and talk a little bit about, you know, some of the specific issues that solopreneurs are dealing with today. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you've seen as some of the biggest challenges they're now facing.
Yeah, well, that's a contextual question, obviously. And to really address that, I've got to just make a little bit of historical comment. And that is the changes that have taken place over the last 10 or 12 years. And they're enormous. And they've impacted all of us in one way or another. And so if you go back a number of years, when I started doing this on a more formalistic basis, we were essentially coming out of the 2008, 2009, whatever that was, recession. And everybody pointed, well, you know, things are different since then and so on and so forth. And they're still pointing fingers at that, blah, 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 which is fine. It was the solidification of digital marketing was really being addressed as far as something really important. And all of a sudden, everybody knew what an SEO was, but they really had no idea what it really did or didn't do. But they've learned rather quickly what that's all about. We've seen trends that were taking place that got amplified and adopted several years into it. So we saw the work of the world of e-commerce. We saw the world of no longer making things. Even if you were going to sell them, you'd outsource it to somebody else, to another country, to another low-cost labor area, blah, all those kind of things. We saw the change of work habits, people working remotely, partially remotely. And then COVID came along and every one of those trends became almost facts of life.
Really quickly.
And the other thing that took place, and it's all relevant to today, is globalization in various and sundry forms. Whether I could buy a service for programming or some engineering design from the Ukraine, or buy toys and resell them on Amazon from China, you know, that's globalization. And that is now kind of going through some state of flux, as you will. I think the other thing that's changed dramatically and continues to do so, which is really what today is all about, is the rate of change of change. There are so many things happening so quickly that we're kind of in the midst of, I think that, David, we discussed this the other day, as a matter of fact, we're somewhere in between chaos and order, of which neither one of them are easy to define. We know what we feel like when we're kind of stuck in between those. It's kind of like if you put your head in boiling water and you put your feet in ice water, your body's at average temperature, but man, you are really uncomfortable. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So what is the right now situation? The right now situation is, whether you are a solopreneur, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune, whatever, 1,000 company, you have to really concentrate on understanding the difference between noise and trends. Today, you have to be a continuous learner. You cannot let the world slip by you and say, AI, I don't know what it means. It's too complicated. I'm not good on my computer. Blah, blah, blah. No way. Sorry. There's no choice. Figure it out. If you can't, well, you lose. You snooze, you lose. I think that you have to accept the fact that you're going to make wrong decisions, not because they're wrong. They just didn't work out because of external events that you have no control over. In fact, the only thing you control is yourself. So being able to stay true to your mission at the same time of being agile and ability to change and adapt to the circumstances, to your needs, and I must say to your clients' needs, and recognize that as a solopreneur, particularly those that are giving services, your clients are going through the same dilemma, the very same one. So you almost have to not only offer your service, but you have to feel what they're going through in order to meet their needs, in order to sell your product, sell your service, in order to make a living, in order to have shelter, in order to have food and something put away for the future. Those are all the aspects of, shall we say, empathy. I think that's really, really important. But the basic secret sauce over time is the aspect of ability to be really gritty and persistent and stubborn at the same time as being flexible and focusing and not easily distracted. But to say that people will not be distracted and stay focused is a myth. The question is, how do you do it in the best balance between distraction and focus without going crazy, which means that old, very difficult goal of life balance? How do you maintain your focus? How do you maintain your mental health? How do you retain your relationships? How do you retain your maintain your family responsibilities and love? That's all tricky stuff. And some do it better than others, but we all do it in some way. And so be mindful of it and never be afraid of it. You will be distracted. God knows. Yeah, period.
Yeah, there are certainly lots of challenges today, and there are challenges that are new. And you're right, the rate of change only seems to increase. Staying focused is definitely a big challenge. And I agree with you, persistence and flexibility, which sometimes are not the same thing, they're really important. Are there examples or stories that jump out in your mind of solopreneurs that seem to be kind of dealing with the challenges of today better than others?
You know, it's kind of like, in order to answer that question, you really have to forecast how they'll be a year from now or 2 years from now. It's because the events are taking place so quickly. You may think they're doing well today, but they may not be that good an example tomorrow. I'll give you one example of if this question was posed to me in whatever X years ago, I would say there was one group of people, women that had a really fascinating business on a wellness or a beauty product, if you will. And they just took off like gangbusters. They had Facebook ads. They really did a great job. And they were three solopreneurs in a sense, because that's what they were. It was a family. And when COVID came along, they even did better. And my goodness gracious, their run rate was phenomenal. It was really good. And they were the epitome of excellent work in social media. And then what happened was that the basics of the business became reality. They couldn't scale the business. They took on more than they could handle. They couldn't serve customers. Facebook changed its algorithm. People got tired of it. There wasn't so much a repeat business. There was too many one-off sales. And they folded up. So if that question was, say, give me a good example. Yeah, pre-folding up, they were a great example. 2 years later, there was a set of circumstances that took place. So did they do some things wrong? Yeah. Could they see some of them in advance? No. I think that the human condition is that we don't know everything. And did they look both ways before they crossed the street? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So those are examples of something. I think another example is that somebody that can really key in on the pain points of a specific set of clients. And there was one person that we work with who I would say here was the success story. She had a solopreneurial business in traditional morphing into digital marketing. And she had a very burgeoning business, but it was dominated by one or two clients. And they were very difficult, high maintenance clients. In the community that we had set up, where she was a member of, I think the group gave her the backbone to fire that customer. Because that customer was important for revenue, and she was so scared to lose that revenue. But the amount of time that was being taken on servicing that customer was so great that she couldn't do any other sales or this, that, and the other thing. The community gave her the backbone to do what she needed to do. And I think, and by the way, and today, looking back on it, she's very successful. She has a really good business. She's added people. And she's not dominated by any single customer that's a pain in the you-know-what. And I think that was a result of, and the best way I could describe it is community pressure and several boxes of tissues.
Yeah, which you know, you're sharing something that's a very important aspect of community.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the support to say no to something, the support to pivot when it seems scary. Yeah, which is very hard to do without that community support.
Yeah, and it goes back to how do you know the community is the right community? Well, you hope that it does. You work like heck. I know you work like heck to make that community strong and meet that all of those criteria that I set, which was trust and respect and lightheartedness and seriousness, all blended in with a certain degree of frequency. And you know, you do the best you can. And that's really what it is at the end of the day. You do your best you can. I think, you know, success has a certain element of luck. And that should not be dismissed. Luck is not just a spurious event that just happens to come along. I think there was a baseball general manager, Branch Rickey. I think it's attributed to him. It may not be, but at least that's as I know it. And it says that good luck is the residue of hard work, and or as Woody Allen might say, is 90% of showing up. So if you're in the game, you have a chance. If you work hard at it. It could go your way and it could not. That's okay. But we should not dismiss good fortune. I know in my life, I've had great fortune, good fortune, I should say, both in terms of my family relationships, my spouse, my kids, my grandkids. Yeah, maybe I work for that. But I think it's just good fortune. And I bless the day. I bless the day.
Yep. And an ounce of gratitude goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and share some great insights. You have a wealth of experience when it comes to entrepreneurship and working with solopreneurs in particular. If somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've shared or learn more about you or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
I'll send you the information, David, as far as best contact matters, and you can take it from there. But I am available and always interested to, for sure, pick up a phone or pick up a video camera, as the case may be.
Okay, and we will share the contact information in the show notes. Jerry, thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest has been trusted business advisor and certified SCORE mentor, Jerry Weinstein. Thank you, Jerry, for joining us.
It's my pleasure always to be of working with you as a partnership, as well as sharing your good advice and guidance.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.